Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, and as always, I'm so grateful to be with you. It is Wednesday, April 24th, the 24th day of the month and the 114th day of the year. It's National Stop Food Waste Day, National Bucket List Day, I think we all have those, and National Pigs in a Blanket Day. And now it is time to go to the Hartford Courant and check out today's horoscopes, and maybe to help us plan our day. We shall begin with Aries, March 21st through April 19th. How you see yourself can get jumbled up with fear. It may be hard to figure out the way forward. Study any confusion that arises in the clash of harsh words or long-standing grudges from others against your knowledge of your true self. Do not let naysayers tell you who you are. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. You might not know how you feel today. Someone could be asking you to make a decision quickly. Unfortunately for them, you just may not have a full response prepped yet. You don't exist on their timeline. You exist on your own. Rushing will not serve your highest good. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. You may notice that other people are reading too much into what you are saying. They might be doing this out of sincere ignorance, but they could also be purposefully misreading you. People who are not in your corner should not dictate your future. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. What you mean and how you're seen might currently be two different things. You are meant to speak with intention, so be wary of saying too much or too little. Small gestures can make a huge difference in how others see you, and you need to take charge of the narrative. Be genuine by saying only what's true. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. Peers may appreciate a window into your current feelings. You're likely someone who is truly sensitive. At the moment, someone could catch a glimpse of your emotional core before you're able to cover it back up. Just make sure you do not wallow in your emotions. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Relying on someone else too much could come back to bite you without warning. It's wonderful to have a business partner, dependable pal, or love interest, but watch out. It could be that you're the one who's giving too much, while the other takes incessantly. And Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Relationships can be hard for you to navigate at the moment. Opposingly, it's possible that you're the one who isn't quite acting your usual self. It's important to make sure you're talking about your feelings, because keeping everything inside can lead to stress. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. You may wonder if getting your feelings off of your chest would actually be worth it. Someone could be encouraging you to open up, but you're unsure if they simply crave gossip or if you can genuinely trust them with your deepest emotions. Make an effort to explain yourself in a positive way. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. You might be reading too much into what other people are saying. there's a strong chance your mind is exaggerating things. It's important to have a sense of self-reliance and avoid depending on someone else for everything. But if you need help, then you're allowed to ask. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. Family might not understand your dreams. You could be trying to show them your vision for your life, but instead of hyping you up, you have to fend off tons of pointed questions. You could also gently remind them that you can only handle so much advice at once. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. You can express yourself in a very public way today. It's possible that you've been keeping something inside for a long time. It can be difficult to tell hard truths about yourself or your life and your journey, but others should be more respectful and helpful to you. And finally, Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Security may not come as easily as it used to. You may have once had strong job security or friendly connections, or maybe you overcame something smaller. Either way, when faced with a lack of belonging in the places where you want to spend time, giving up may sound like the least painful options. And those, my friends, are the horoscopes for Wednesday, April 24th. Now, let's take a look at our late-night television choices. On ABC, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy's guests are Carol Burnett, Nicholas Galitzine, and Christian Nodal. On NBC, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The guests are Conan O'Brien, Nicole Richie, Liam Gallagher, and John Squire. Over on CBS, Stephen Colbert. Stephen's guests are Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tyla. Later on CBS, After Midnight, the guests are Lisa Ann Walter, Daniel Franzese, and Michael Collins. Later on NBC, Seth Meyers. The guests are Jeremy Strong, Amber Ruffin, and Fred Armisen. On Bravo, Watch What Happens Live. Andy's guests are John Early and Jesse Tyler Ferguson. And finally on Comedy Central, The Daily Show. The guest hosts are Ronnie Chang and Gordon Klepper, and the guest is Representative Andy Kim. And those are late night television choices. And now let's take a look at today's almanac. On this day in history, in 1704, the first regular newspaper in British colonial America was published. It was called the Boston Newsletter. In 1877, federal troops were ordered out of New Orleans, ending the North's post-Civil War rule in the South. In 1915, in what's considered the start of the Armenian Genocide, the Ottoman Empire began rounding up Armenian political and cultural leaders in Constantinople. In 1961, in the wake of the failed Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, the White House issued a statement saying that President John F. Kennedy bears sole responsibility for the events of the past few days. In 2005, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was inaugurated as the 265th Pope of the Catholic faith, taking the name Benedict XVI. In 2021, the U.S. declared that the systematic killing of more than a million Armenians by the Ottoman Empire in the early 20th century was genocide. And finally, in 2022, French President Emmanuel Macron comfortably won re-election to a second term. Births on this date. In 1904, William de Kooning, the Dutch-American painter, was born. The actress Shirley MacLaine is 90 years old. And the multi-talented Barbra Streisand, singer, actor, producer, director, she is 82 years old today. The actor Eric Boghossian is 71. The actor Michael O'Keefe is 69, from Caddyshack and The Great Santini fame, and Law & Order on TV. He is 69 today. Cedric the Entertainer, real name is Cedric Kyles, is 60. And Kelly Clarkson, the singer and talk show host, is 42 years old today. Happy birthday to them and anyone else celebrating a birthday. And now it is time to go back to the Hartford Current and check out today's Ask Amy Advice column. Headline today is Couple Wants Jobless Adult Son Out of House. Dear Amy, I am a 45-year-old woman married to my wife for 5 years. My issue is my 21-year-old son who lives with us. He's a good kid, but he's now unemployed for 4 months and spends his days playing video games. My son had a full ride to a prestigious university, but only stayed for a year and a half. He recently applied for the police academy, but he never follows through with anything. He also dropped out of the fire academy because he was bored. He was working as a forklift operator while in school. He's always done well in school, but he is lazy. I am a nurse, and his dad is an over-the-road truck driver who just had another son with his younger wife. I'm always trying to get my ex-husband to motivate him. My wife and I have never lived alone our entire marriage, and she's getting frustrated. My wife has no children and feels like it's time to get mine out of our home. It's putting such a strain on me, as I feel like I have to choose my wife or my son. Now, they're starting to argue more with each other. I feel completely torn. Please help. Signed, Torn is in Wisconsin. Dear Torn, your unemployed adult son living at home is not your issue. Overall, this is everyone's issue, but mainly it is his, and his main task right now should be to solve his own problem. Do not count on his father to motivate him. He is not living in his father's house. You and your wife should approach this as equal partners in your household, and you should present a united strategy for how to parent him into adulthood. The unemployment rate right now in Wisconsin is a very low 3%. Your son does not need another special opportunity put into his lap due to how smart he is. He squanders those opportunities because he knows he can. He needs to get a job at a fast food drive-thru, a landscaping crew, the Walmart warehouse, or wherever he can get hired. Working a full day will give him a skill set, money in his pocket, and self-esteem. I would cut the wireless at your house during the day, stop paying for his cell phone, and offer him only a roof over his head and nourishment until he can afford other housing. I know this is tough, but your marriage is on the line, and so is his future. Many parents have dealt with this by offering their adult children the option of working full-time or joining a branch of the military, which, given your son's interest, might actually be a good fit for him. And our next letter today. Dear Amy, my sister will earn her PhD out of state this summer. My wife and I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Bringing the whole family would be too much for the 1-year-old to handle. I'd like to bring our older child, who is close with the graduating aunt. My wife does not support the older child going with me because she wants to be there for that child's first airplane flight. She acknowledges that this is a selfish desire. Should we go as a family, despite the headaches that will come from flying with a baby? Or should I go solo? Signed, Harried Husband. Dear Harried, as someone who has flown a lot with my daughter when she was a baby and toddler, and subsequently with many other children of varying ages, I do not see flying with a three-year-old as being the important and unmissable milestone your wife seems to perceive it to be. I still have flashbacks of running from one end of the Dallas airport to the other with my daughter, repeatedly dropping our carry-on luggage and assorted backpacks as we went. If the trip to your sister's graduation is a direct flight of 3 hours or less, I would take the whole gang. If the trip requires a complicated connection, I would suggest you go solo. And our last letter today, dear Amy, regarding the ongoing discussion about pressuring college students to get A's and B's, I was a recruiter for a decade and have spent another decade in the onboarding phase of employment. These parents worried about grades? For employment purposes, grades do not matter. College is a yes or no question. Signed, recruiter. Dear recruiter, grades might matter for graduate school. A degree matters for employment. And that's Ask Amy for today. And now to the Connecticut Living section of today's Hartford Current and the Ex-Etiquette column. The headline today is Not Giving Step-Siblings Boundaries Before Sharing Room Set Them Up for Failure. Here's today's question. My 12-year-old daughter recently told me her 11-year-old stepbrother tried to kiss her before he went to bed the other night. She was already asleep, and they share a room. We gently confronted him, and he admitted to it, but he was very embarrassed, and my daughter is mortified. My husband and I have only been married 6 months, and we moved into his two-bedroom condo. We obviously need more room, but we felt demonstrating a positive, loving relationship after both of our bad divorces was more important. His son goes back and forth between his mother's home and ours. We aren't sure what to do at this point. What do you suggest? What's good ex-etiquette? Here's the answer. Parents in your position have often confided that they were so excited about finding a new compatible partner and how well everyone got along that they did not anticipate something like you describe. The truth is, you should, and I'm glad you asked the question so we can discuss it. Yes, it is important to demonstrate a loving relationship. But there's so much more to moving in together than, look how well we get along. This is not only your home, but your children's home. They need their individual space and privacy just as you do. People change in their bedrooms or retire to their rooms and close the door for privacy. Parents often see their children as innocent little ones, and it does not register that their babies have sexual feelings in adolescence. Plus, many school districts initiate sex education at the fifth or sixth grade level, not to mention what kids are exposed to on social media and movies. So now you have an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old behind closed doors with limited understanding of what they're feeling and the consequences associated with their actions. That's a huge responsibility with very little preparation. Bonus families need clear rules and boundaries set up by parents to guide kids through uncharted waters. Doesn't sound like this was offered to your kids prior to your expecting them to share room. So what are the alternatives at this point? Make it a priority to find a more appropriate space for your family. I understand that your finances may be a consideration, but so is your children's comfort. So you may have to get creative with sleeping space in your home. But stop setting your children up for failure. And that's the ex-etiquette column. All right, still from the Connecticut Living section of the Hartford Courant, headline, I feel the pull of biology. DNA test reveals journalist conceived by sperm donor. His mom had no idea. Matt Katz wanted to know where his Jewish ancestors once lived in Eastern Europe. So in 2016, he spit into a plastic vial and mailed in his DNA test. He expected to be 100% Ashkenazi Jewish. Instead, he learned that half his DNA came from Ireland. He was shocked, but perhaps more jarring, so was his mother. She confirmed through her own test that she was indeed his biological mother and also 100% Ashkenazi Jewish. The mystery transferred to his father. Katz, now 45, already had a complicated relationship with fathers. The man he knew as his birth father largely disappeared from his life when he was 8, and his mother remarried a man named Richard Katz. As a child, Matt legally changed his last name to match. Richard legally adopted him. He was the one Matt called Dad, the one who played catch with him and taught him to ride a bike. Now, a DNA test suggested that Katz's long-estranged father wasn't even related to him. So who was his biological father? And how did his mother not know? My identity is all scrambled, Katz said recently. Katz's surprise DNA results launched a 5-year investigation into who his father was and the ethically vexed history of donor insemination, a twisting, satisfying story he tells in a new 8-part podcast called Inconceivable Truth. His Google Doc for the project was titled Daddy Issues. Katz, a longtime Inquirer reporter and now a radio journalist at WNYC, recorded most of it from his and his wife's bedroom closet, speaking into a microphone amidst the soundproofing presence of folded sweaters. In this age of direct-to-consumer DNA tests, many, many people have discovered startling truths about their family, how their families were made. Recent studies put the rates of so-called misattributed paternity, the situation Katz found himself in, between 1 and 4% of all births, according to an analysis by The New Yorker. Darker secrets have come out, too. Psychiatrists used to think that incest occurred among 1 in a million people. DNA testing now suggests the real number of people born to parents who are first-degree relatives, a brother and a sister, parent and a child may be close to 1 in 7,000, according to unpublished research by British geneticist Jim Wilson, recently reported in The Atlantic. We live in what is perhaps a singular era of those genetic revelations. Older generations never imagined the kind of DNA technology that has developed, and younger generations will always operate with it in mind. The trend now is greater transparency and more access to information, spurred in part by donor-conceived activists. But in this moment, there are still secrets to uncover and new family trees to create. Katz's quest was unusually complicated because his DNA revealed no grandparents, cousins, aunts, or uncles. With help from a volunteer on Facebook and another DNA test, Katz discovered that he had 2 half-sisters. One of them told Katz what she had only recently learned herself. She was conceived by a sperm donor. In a recorded conversation with his mother after speaking with his half-sister, Katz asked whether his mother had ever had fertility help. Yes, she said. Is it possible there was a sperm donor, he asked. Not to my knowledge, she said. Seeking to process the new information, Kat set out to understand how babies such as him came to exist. Before assisted reproductive technology such as IVF took off, straight couples who struggled to conceive sometimes ended up using donor insemination. At the time, mostly male doctors believed it was in the best interest of everyone involved if the entire process was hidden, sometimes even from those intimately involved in it. The first successful artificial insemination occurred in Philadelphia in 1884 and paved the way for generations of secrecy and deception, Katz found. A doctor realized that his female patient was married to a man with a low sperm count, so he inseminated the woman with a rubber syringe filled with the semen of a hand-selected medical student. The woman was never told. Even decades later, secrecy remained the gold standard. Katz found a memo written by Alan Guttmacher, a well-known gynecologist and president of Planned Parenthood, from the 1940s, laying out the ethical rules for donor insemination. "Forget signed papers," Guttmacher wrote. "They simply act as a permanent reminder of something which should be forgotten as quickly and completely as possible." By the 1970s, when Katz was conceived, OBGYNs sometimes chose sperm donors from among their medical residents or other available men, never creating or deliberately discarding any records. They strived to match a donor's physical look with the father who would raise a child, so the child might never guess. They also routinely mixed donor sperm with a husband's ineffective sperm, sometimes telling couples the donor's sperm would boost the husband's sperm. Often, doctors would tell couples to go home and have sex after the insemination, encouraging the illusion that the husband was genetically related to a child actually conceived through donor insemination. Once Katz understood that he had been donor-conceived, he set out to find the Irish doctor he believed would be his father. Inconceivable Truth, which is releasing one episode a week, follows that quest. "Presence is really what makes a dad," Katz said. "But I feel the pull of biology." And now time for a little celebrity news. Since the release of Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department on Friday, worldwide Google searches for Patti Smith are up 430%. According to Nui Casinos, Google Trends illustrates the impact too, with interest sharply spiking in tandem with its release. Smith's name is invoked on the title track of Swift's album in a song believed to be directed at Matt Healy, of the 1975 because of its references to typewriters, tattoos, and admiration for Charlie Puth. In one of the album's standout lines, Swift sings, "I laughed in your face and said, you're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. And this ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We are modern idiots." Smith is among the long list of artists, musicians, and writers who lived or stayed at the Chelsea Hotel. In the late 60s, she frequented the New York Landmark while in a relationship with artist Robert Mapplethorpe. Smith, now 77, responded to Swift's mention with an Instagram photo of herself holding a copy of Thomas's Portrait of the Artist as a Young Dog, and the caption, "This is saying, I was moved to be mentioned in the company of the great Welsh poet Dylan Thomas. Thank you, Taylor." "This is amazing," wrote one fan on Reddit. "Horses was a really important album to me in the early 20s, and Patti is an absolute icon. If I were Taylor, I'd frame this." And country music star Morgan Wallen, who was arrested April 8th for throwing a chair off a building in Nashville, Tennessee, says he is not proud of his behavior and accepts full responsibility. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have for Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, and I hope you have a great day and a better tomorrow.